checking. It's okay. Is it okay? Hof Tes Tavis, 27th of January. Harav Binyon Kalaba. Mishpat Hamitzrim, Yud Beis Chodesh.
I would like to discuss the Esser Makos. How long did they take? The Mishnah says in Edius, Perek Beis, the last Mishnah is Perek Beis Edius, Rabbi Kiva says there were five things that took 12 months, and one of them is Mishpat HaMitzrayim. The Mishpat of Mitzrayim took 12 months. So there are several factors to take into account when we try to make the cheshbon of 12 months. The Medrash says, this week's parash, the pasuk says, by here, acharei melois shivus yomim, acharei akayis Hashem es hayor. So the Medrash brings the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia. One says, the Medrash doesn't specify who, one of them say that each makkah had 7 days of makkah, 24 days of warning prior to that. 24 days of warning, 7 days of the makkah itself. The other says that the makkah was 24 days and the warning was 7 days. Meaning that according to each one of them, the makkah took 31 days, just a little bit short, over a month. 28 and a half days is a month. 31 days was the span of a makkah. Now, if you add that all up together, it comes out to a little bit more than 10 months. Because Makis Bechoyres didn't take any time, and there was no warning to it. The warning came the same day. Makis Bechoyres had no warning, and Makis Bechoyres didn't take time. So we're talking about the span of 9 Makis. How long is that? So if each makkah was 31 days, 9 makkahs is just a little bit over 10 months. If you add to 28 days, add to 9 months, 3 days for each makkah, 9 times 3, just a little bit over 10 months. So how does the Mishnah say that makkahs, that Mishpat HaMitzrayim was 12 months? Now, That's the most generous cheshbon, but we have to start cutting a little bit. There's a machloikis as to if all the makkas had a warning or not. When we look at the psukim, we'll see that the Malbim at length discusses all of the makkas, and he said that all of the makkas were a lesson to Mitzrayim, and the makkas were divided into 3 categories. Like Rabbi Yehuda Ha'Nesimem Simon, the Tzach, Adash, V'Achav. The Tzach was Leman Teda, before Dam, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paro, Leman Teda, Ki Ani Hashem. The first 3 makas were to teach Mitzrayim that there is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, a Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Melech Oilam, he's the creator, he's the Baal Habayit. So that was the Tzach of the first 3 makas. Before Dever, it says, before Oro, which is the fourth makkah in the beginning of the second series, Leman Teda, Ki Ani Hashem Bekerv Haaretz. That not only does Hashem say, I created the world, I'm omnipresent, I'm here, and I'm involved in everything that's going on. And for that came the second 3 makkahs. Before Borod, the warning went, Leman Teda, I'm omnipotent. I'm omnipresent, omnipotent. That's what the 3 makkahs were. The Malbim points out that the third makkah in each series, in each one of the 3 series, came without a hasro. In other words, in the first 2, Moshe Rabbeinu told Paro, this is what the story is. And by the third one, he should have known already, and the third makkah came without warning. So now, if a warning took 7 days, so from the 10 months we take off 21 days for the 3 makkahs that did not have warning. And that brings us just a little bit over 9 months. The one who says that each makkah had the warning was 24 days, and for the three makkahs
that 24 days. Where did it come from? The 24.
I have no idea. So if it comes from the Medrash. The Medrash says it. Where did the Medrash took it from? I don't know. But the Medrash says that either the makkah was 24 days or the hasra was 24 days or the warning was 24 days. So now, if the warning was 24 days and there were three makkahs that didn't have a warning, so we take off 72 days from the cheshbon, which was not, everything went so much faster, which means that was about 7.5 months for all the makkahs. So which that makes the kasha even greater. How do we get to 12 months? There's one more factor that has to be taken into account, and that is, the Medrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came to Mitzrayim, he left Tzipora, Ramolin, because Aaron told him, why are you bringing your wife and children to Mitzrayim? Everybody's looking to get out of Mitzrayim. So he didn't send her back home. She didn't go back by herself. After he came to Mitzrayim, and after he came to Paran, he took leave of absence. He went back to take Tzipora and his children back to Midian. How long was he gone? So there's one gives in the Medrash that says he was gone 6 months. There was one Chazan that says that he was gone 3 months. Whichever it is, you have to consider, if the time in between that he left to go to Midian is considered part of the 12 months, then if you could take into account the gears of 3 months, you might be able to fit it in. If he was away for 6 months and you consider the time being away part of the 12 months, then we're way over, whichever you look at. So the question arises, how does the Mishnah say that the Mishpat in Yitzrayim was 12 months? Now there's an interesting Ravid. The Ravid has a pirush on the side of the Mishnayis in the Sechta Edis. And on the side of the Ravid brings as follows. Mishpat HaMitzrayim B'Mitzrayim was Yud Beis Chodesh. Says the Rabbi Shenemar, where do we know that it was Yud Beis Chodesh? Shenemar lekoishish kash leteven veimoseh hateven nimtzeh besode beir vehem yatzu benissim, which means the pasuk says vayetsu kolam lukay teven lekoishish kash leteven, the Klai Yisrael went out into the fields to look for straw in order to make the bricks. When do you find straw in the fields? In Ir. That's when it's motzui to find straw in the fields. And that was in Ir. So if you start counting from then, Klaiso went out in Nisan. So that's 12 months. It's very strange. What does the pasuk Lekoishish Kash Letevin, that Klaiso went out into the fields to look for straw, what does that tell me about the Mishpat? The Rabbi didn't think up with this pasuk himself. This comes from a braisa of Seder Oilim written by Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta, the Tana. Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta says that the Mishpat of Mitzrayim started in Ir because of the Pasuk Lekoishish Kash Leteven. What's obvious is, why do we start from that Pasuk? When Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro the very first time, Paro said, To Moshe Rabbeinu, Mi Hashem Ashayash that I'll send the Klai Yisrael away. Hashem Ani Le'eni Yodea. Apparently, you're not busy enough. So now we're going to make you work harder. Teven Lo Yinasu Lachem. From now on, you're not going to receive Teven to make the bricks. You have to go look for it yourself. And then it says Vayetze Bayam Mahu. They went out at the very same day to start looking for cash. It went into effect immediately. Which means the day that Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro for the very first time was on a day where it was possible to find straw in the fields. Because immediately he went out to look for straw. So we know that the very first time that Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro wasn't here. But it doesn't answer the question yet, because the Mishnah says that the Mishpat, which was the Makkos, was 12 months. The Makkos didn't start then, because if you work from Yitzis Mitzrayim backwards, and the Makkos at the largest cheshbon we came to was 10 months plus, so if you work from Nisan backwards, And that would mean that the Makkah started in Tammuz, even though they had to go looking for straw in Ir, but 10 months prior to Nisan, it comes out in Tammuz, in the middle of the summer. Again, we still don't understand why did the Mishnah take 12 months. So I'd like to offer the following answer to this question. There's a pasuk in the beginning of the parsha. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Re'ei, Nusaticha Elokim lefaroi. I appointed you, and the word Elokim is Choy, and it can be and standing in the drasha. One can say Vayomer Elohim, because Akash Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I appointed you a shofet. Rashi says that Elohim is a shofet. Shofet v'reidim, one that wanted to mete out his sentence to give him mishpat. L'regoyshoi b'makas b'yisurim. Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, I appointed you as a shofet on Paro to be right to him,
to punish him.
To mete out his judgment. So, Rashi says, L'regoyshoi, to chasten. But Makkos and Yisurim. Makkos and Yisurim. Makkos, we know what they are. Yisurim obviously means something added besides the Makkos. So, the Fiyah Pashas, one would say, that the Makkos brought along with them Yisurim, pain, trouble. So the Makkos, they are the Yisurim. But if that's the case, so why does Rashi have to say separately the word Yisurim? So I'd like to say as follows. 40 years earlier, or 60 years earlier, it's Machlekes, Moshe Rabbeinu was living in the palace of Paro. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to see what's doing with the Eden. And he killed the Mitzri by Yitmaneu Bachoy. The next day, Moshe Rabbeinu went out again. Nitzim, Vavirim were fighting between themselves. And one of them picked up his hand, Moshe Rabbeinu said, you want to kill me also the way you killed the Mitzri yesterday? Moshe said, I see that it has become known. And after, the next passage says, when it became known that Moshe Rabbeinu killed a Mitzri, Vayavakish Paro Largis Moshe, Paro wanted to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. The kash is very obvious. Paro ruled over the whole world. And he was an achzor. He used to bathe in the blood of Yiddish children for his saras. Why would Paro be so concerned that Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri? Moshe Rabbeinu grew up in his house. Moshe Rabbeinu was a nice household item to have around the house. Why would he be interested in killing Moshe Rabbeinu merely because he killed the Mitzri? It really doesn't make sense. Rav Meir Simcha, the Meshech Chacha, points out a very interesting chazal. Moshe Rabbeinu was contemplating, he was thinking, why is it that Klai Yisrael have to work in Mitzrayim? It bothered him. The shibud of Klai Yisrael in Mitzrayim bothered Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayomer libo, For what reason does Klal Yisrael have to go through Golos Mitzrayim? And when he heard Hal Hargein Atayim Kasharakas Hamitzin, he said, "Ochei Noyda Hadavar." The Chazal tell us, "Ochei Noyda Hadavar" means now. And now I see it's known. What's known? Not it's known that I killed the Mitzri. Now I understand. "Ochei Noyda Hadavar," and now I understand why Klal Yisrael have to be in Mitzrayim, because there are Bali Lashon Har within Klal Yisrael. If the word that I killed the Mitzri is going around town, that's a simon that there are Bali Lashon Hara in Eretz Yisrael, in Klal Yisrael, and that in itself is a reason to bring the Shibud Mitzrayim. The next pasuk says, "Vayomer Paro, Vayvakish Paro Largas Moshe." When Paro heard that Moshe Rabbeinu said such a thing, Moshe Rabbeinu said that the reason Klal Yisrael are in Mitzrayim is because they are Bali Lashon Hara. Vayevakesh Paro l'harvest Moshe, for that alone, he wanted to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is that? Because by making such a statement, Moshe Rabbeinu is undermining the whole empire of Paro. Paro says, "Ani yori v'ali asi sini." Paro said he was God. He said he created himself and he rules on the world. If that's true, you can't tell me that the reason Bnei Yisrael are working in Mitzrayim is because they speak Lashon Hara. Paro doesn't care about Lashon Hara, and Paro doesn't need anybody else to make a decree why Yisrael have to work in Mitzrayim. Paro says that Klal Yisrael work in Mitzrayim is because I put them to work. They're my avodim. The mere fact that Moshe Rabbeinu can say such a statement that Klal Yisrael is working in Mitzrayim because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that there are Bali Lashon Hara between them is a different way of saying the Ribbono Yisrael is the balabais of the world, not Paro. Now that's something for Paro to take issue with. And Paro said, if that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said, Vayevakesh Paro l'haragis Moshe. So Moshe ran away to Midian. How long was he there? Was he there 20 years, 40 years, or 60 years? But it really doesn't make a difference. He went to the Sneh, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to go back and speak to Paro and tell him, Shalach Hasani Vayavduni. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we learned in Parashat Shmos, the whole story, he comes until he gets to Mitzrayim, until he goes with Aaron. He came to the palace of Paro. It's brought down that Paro had real fierce lions at the gate of his palace, at the doors. That he had there were many doors and there were many lions. It was impossible to get in. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, when they went into Paro, they didn't have much of a problem. They just walked in and put everybody aside. And they finally stand there before Paro. And Chazal explained, they give a description of what Moshe Rabbeinu looked like in Aaron HaKohen. They were tall and their eyes were shining and everything was a majestic sight looking at the two of them. And Paro takes a look. It's very interesting. It doesn't say that he recognized Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, "Who are you?" Obviously, from that, it's mashma that he did not recognize Moshe Rabbeinu.
Huh?
Miatem. Chazal said that Paro looked up and he saw that he just walked in and everybody was like, "How did you get in here? Miatem, who are you and how did you get in here?" So they answered, "We are the shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we went, what do you want? We have a message for you from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Shalach Hasami Vayavduni." Paro was now pushed back in time 40 years. He heard that before. He heard that there's someone else was running the show. Whether he recognized now that it was Moshe Rabbeinu or not, doesn't say. But this, for the same reason he wanted to kill Moshe Rabbeinu then, he got angry now. And he says, "Mi Hashem Hashesh, b'kari Hashem eni yedea, v'shesher lo yashaleach." I'm not sending him. But when Paro heard Moshe Rabbeinu say, "Shalach Hasami," he was saying different words. "Mr. Paro, the game is over. It's it. Your time is up." And that's why he got angry, and that's why he sent them out, and that's why he made the gezeiros even harsher on Klal Yisrael. When was that? The first day Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro, and as we saw before, that was in Ir. So the Makkos really started in the time was, or whichever is the correct date, when Makkos Dam started, depending on how long there was a warning for each Makkah, depending how, if you take the Moshe's absence into Cheshvan, whichever way you look at it, Paro's troubles started in Ir. Because even if the Makkos started later, but those were the Makkos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, "I appointed you to give Paro Yisurim." When did the Yisurim start? The Yisurim started the first moment Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paro, "Shalach Hasami." Paro heard from the Ribbono Shel Olam that his time is up, the game was over, that's when his Yisurim started. I'm sure he didn't sleep that night knowing what happened today. So his Yisurim really started in Eir. So when the Mishnah says that the Mishpat HaMitzrayim in Mitzrayim started in Eir and took 12 months, even though the Makkos only took 10 months or 8 months, the Yisurim lasted all 12 months. And that's why the Mishnah says, Mishpat HaMitzrayim in Mitzrayim, Yud Beis Chodesh. This is Pshat L'Chumash. That's what I feel, I'm Pshat in the Mishnah. But when I usually speak for a tzibur, I like to take out something that can be taken out, a lesson should be taken out. There was a story a few years back in Eretz Yisrael about Tshuva, who started, he lived in the Tel Aviv area, and he started a business in Tel Aviv after he became about Tshuva. Before he was about Tshuva, he used to travel extensively to the Far East. He liked India, and he used to travel very often to India. When he went into business, and he needed to import, he was drawn to India, and he looked for his goods in India. After a short while, he got messed up, and somebody introduced him to trafficking, doing business with drugs. He started doing business with drugs. It was very easy to get your hands on it in India. Came back to Israel, he sold drugs. And he made more money from the drugs than he did from his business. One time, he was ready to come back to Israel. He had himself a shipment of drugs in his luggage. He had a bad feeling about himself. He had a feeling something was going to happen today. And he came to the airport. He was very nervous. And he came to the counter, checked his luggage. They took his suitcase and they put it on the conveyor belt. When he saw his suitcase sitting on the conveyor belt, he breathed a sigh of relief, went to the cafeteria to have himself a cup of coffee. As soon as he had a cup of coffee, a policeman came over to him and said, "Your passport, please." Those three words, "Your passport, please," shocked him into the realization that he's in big trouble. The story went, he wrote a whole book about it. The story went that he spent 16 months in the Indian jails until he escaped from jail. It's a very, very interesting story. When I saw that, a policeman came over to him and said, "Your passport, please." Then he realized, as Paro realized, the game was over. The time is up. Basically, every Yid is in the same position. We live our life, and we try to do what it says in Shulchan Aruch, but we don't realize that one day the policeman is going to come over to you, the policeman in the form of the Malach HaMavos, and he's going to say to us, "Your passport, please." And then everybody has to realize that he's going to go before the Shofet, and he has to give a mishpat on anything he's going to do. So it's for us, and to Chizuk personally, to take this into account, know that even though we're sitting in the cafeteria and we're having a coffee and things seem to be fine, we have to know that one day the policeman's going to ask us for our passport. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us all that when the policeman does come, we shouldn't be that nervous, and we'll be ready for the next stage.
Okay. All right.